We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Is your ally. You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then it was nothing to me but blight. Shadows betray you because they belong to me.
Welcome to Redemption Church. If I could see you, I would be very glad to see you all in the house of God today. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here, and I am glad to have fellowship with you. We're talking about darkness during the month of October. Last week, we introduced the concept that darkness is spiritual. Oh, hi, everybody. Darkness is spiritual. It's a spiritual topic. If you missed Chris's sermon last week, it's available online. I encourage you to go and check it out. It was a powerful message. The Bible talks a lot about light and darkness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Darkness is spiritual. It's kind of dark in this room, right? That's a physical darkness. Physical darkness is the absence of light. But there is a spiritual darkness, and that's the absence of God. And while physical darkness can be kind of creepy, it can leave you feeling vulnerable, spiritual darkness is even more frightening, because the ramifications and the outcome of it can be much more dangerous and destructive. Darkness, any way you look at it, it can be kind of a frightening subject. People are afraid of the dark. But we are not talking about darkness this month to scare you. We're talking about it to make you aware. It's important that you be aware and wise to the situation around you. And we're talking about darkness because we want to help you to be able to recognize when light overcomes the darkness around you. Because that's happening. That happens in our world. And we want you to be able to recognize that and praise God for it. Amen. Amen. So, I thought I'd start off this week with a little bit of a riddle, sort of a quiz. So I've got a series of pictures of animals. I'd like you to tell me what they have in common. All right? Let's give it a shot. The first one is the horseshoe bat. All right? Number two is the cave centipede. Next, the gulper eel. All right. Then the Yeti crab. And finally, my personal favorite, the naked mole rat. All right. So, now, I ask you, what do these things have in common? They're gross? That's correct. They're all animals. They live in the dark. They all live and operate in the darkness. And so do you. We live in a dark world. I don't want to spend a lot of time justifying that statement because it kind of bums me out. But it's the truth. We live in a dark world. You only need to look at the news to see that that's true. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The news today around the world is full of violence and shootings and attacks. Right now there's a cyclone bearing down on India, and millions of people's homes are in its path. We live in a dark, broken world. Jesus told his followers in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 35, then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. He was referring to himself. So walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Our world is walking in the dark. And the problem is, we tend to adapt to darkness. Chris mentioned last week, we feel vulnerable in the dark. We feel like our enemies operate better in the dark than we do. But that's talking about physical darkness. When we have to go out at night or into a dark place, it's kind of creepy because there might be something else there that you can't see, but it can see you, and you never know when it's coming close to attack. But we live day after day in this dark world, in the spiritual darkness of the world around us. And it's kind of our nature when you live day after day in a certain environment, over time you begin to adapt to it. Pardon me. Animals adapt to their environment. And we can see similar examples in the animal kingdom. There are many more animals than the ones we showed today that live in caves and underground and in the deep ocean. And they all look kind of weird. Some have really giant eyes to make use of what light they can get. Some are completely blind, but they have strange shapes and unusual features that are adapted to that dark environment. They adapt to use their other senses to operate when they don't have light. Well, we adapt to function in this dark world. We as humans adapt our behaviors to operate in the darkness. And we can see parallels even among some of the animals we looked at today. For instance, bats. Bats use something called echolocation. That's where they emit sounds. They make little shrieks, and it goes and echoes off of objects. And then they listen for that echo, and they can use that to tell how far away things are. Bats have fairly poor eyesight, but they can still fly around and navigate very well using this echolocation, using the reflections of sound off of objects. Well, when we operate in the darkness, everything that we see tends to be a reflection of ourselves. What I mean is, we often tend to look at things, and instead of seeing them as they are, we often see what we see as a reflection of ourselves. You see somebody and you say, oh, look at this guy with his nice clothes and his fancy car. You know, he's real stuck up. He's fixated on money and objects and stuff. Well, you don't know that. You don't know anything about that guy. But if you're paying attention to his clothes and his car, that's you. You're kind of hung up on those material things. When we operate in darkness, what we see is really a reflection, an echo of our own personality. Or let's take a look at that cave centipede. It was kind of creepy looking. A lot of times animals that live in darkness have lots of weird spindly fingers and feelers and antennae, because they have to feel their way around in the dark, like the Yeti crab. They've got all little hairs and feelers all over them. Well, when we operate in the darkness, we're often overly focused on our feelings without regard to what's really happening. I know I should forgive that person, but they hurt my feelings. I know I should go to church today, but I really don't feel like it. We get overly focused on our feelings because we don't have the light of truth shining in our lives. Often when we come to operate in the darkness, we focus on consumption, like the gulparillo. The biggest part of this animal is its mouth. We focus on consumption because we can't see where our needs are coming from. We can't see how our needs are going to be met. We can't see the source of our provision. And so we got to take in all we can because we never know when it's going to be cut off. We, instead of taking just what we need, we got to take everything. We can barely see what we're getting, but we got to take it all as much as possible. We're focused on our needs and consuming and taking all we can get. Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 describes us when we operate in darkness very accurately. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." That's us. When we operate in the dark, that's us. When we're in the dark, we can't see our own condition. We can't recognize what we've become. We think, "Hey, I'm fine. I got all I need. I'm good. I don't need anyone or anything." We're not fine. We're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And we're not just blind to our own condition. We're blind to those around us. When they're hurting, "Oh, I don't have time to worry about that. I don't know that person." When they're in need, when they're lonely, when they need the light, when they need the truth, "That doesn't concern me. Well, we don't even get that far to say that doesn't concern me. We don't even notice them. We don't notice the people around us who are struggling, who are hurting. We're completely blind to it. But we were not made to dwell in darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Turn around. Say to somebody next to you, "You don't belong to the darkness." Amen. That's the truth. You are all sons and daughters of the light and of the day. God does not intend for us to dwell in darkness. And praise God, He does not leave us in darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Amen? Well, praise God. Thank Him for that. He calls us out of this darkness. He doesn't leave us there. Many of us here today have been called out of darkness. Praise God. But there are still people in this world who are in darkness. There are many people who don't realize that there is something other than darkness. Next week, We're going to have our friend, Pastor Vitaly Kiesel, come. He's the pastor of a church in Maikop, Russia. And his ministry is to people who dwell in a really dark place. And a lot of them don't realize that there's an alternative. They operate in this darkness, and he's there bringing the light of the gospel to them. There are people in this world that don't realize that light even exists. And there was a time where that may have even been true for us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. People dwelling in deep darkness, God doesn't intend for them to remain there. This light has dawned upon them. But do they get it? John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Some translations say overcome, but it can also be translated, the darkness has not understood the light. Sometimes when we've dwelt in darkness our whole life, when this light comes in, we don't get it. For example, look at animals. If you take one of these animals from the deep ocean or from deep within a cave and you shine a light on it, it's not going to understand what that light is. Some may ignore it if they're completely blind. Others will run from it. Well, sometimes people have the same reaction. They misunderstand the light. But God's not satisfied with that. He's not willing to let people dwell in darkness. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Amen. Praise God. That's the amazing thing. God will turn darkness into light in order to reach us. He will illumine our darkness. So, we can say, in the words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This light can come and penetrate us and shine within us. We were made to dwell in the light. And God does not want to leave us in the darkness. God calls us out of darkness. We were made to live in the light. But then, why does the Bible repeatedly tell us to remain in the light, to walk in the light, to live in the light? Normally, God doesn't have to tell us to do things that we do naturally. God doesn't have to tell you to breathe. Why does the Bible make such a point of telling us to remain in the light, to walk in the light? The answer is because we get to choose between light and darkness. Even once we've seen the light, even once we've encountered it, God still lets us choose. But why would anyone choose the darkness? Think about that. We still live in a dark world. And we naturally adapt to our surroundings. It's almost like instinct. We can't really help it at times. For instance, even now, your eyes are adapting to the darkness in this room. Well, when we adapt to function in the darkness, we may come to prefer the darkness. If you look over to your right at the mural, there's an example. Right now, as your eyes have adjusted to the dark, you should be able to see the figure of Jesus there, sort of central to the mural. But as the light trails off into shadow, what you can't see on the very far right-hand edge is Judas. Judas was an unfortunate guy. He walked with Jesus during Jesus' ministry. He lived with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He heard Jesus' teaching. But he was really adapted to living in the darkness. He knew how to make the darkness work for him, how to get ahead in the dark. The Bible says that he was taking money from the money that the disciples had collected. He was stealing. And when the time came, he said, you know what? This Jesus guy's all right. I don't really understand what he's all about, but I bet I know how I can make some good money real fast. People are interested in killing him. Well, I can turn him over. And I bet they'll pay me pretty good. And that's what he did. He sold out Jesus. He operated in the dark. He went by the cover of night, but he dealt in darkness, betraying the one man who loved him more than anyone else ever would. He sold him out for the things of this world, taking money to betray a friend. That's darkness. That's operating in darkness. And if you value the things of the dark, it paid off pretty well for him. Until he got a clear picture of just how dark that was. When he saw this man, who he knew had never committed a sin, this man who loved him, when he saw this man beaten and tortured to death, that was a little too dark for him to handle. He couldn't take it. He thought he could operate in the darkness. But when he saw how deep that darkness was, he couldn't handle it. Unfortunately, we don't always see that when we just start edging towards the darkness. There are people who choose darkness. The book of Job describes them this way in Job chapter 24, verse 13. There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its paths. For all of them, continuing in verse 17, for all of them, deep darkness is their mourning. They make friends with the terrors of the dark. Oh man, that's bad. Because the things in the dark aren't your friends. There may be people around you who kind of dwell in darkness. And they may say, hey, look, I know you're into this church thing and stuff, but we're doing this over here. Do you want to come join us? Well, if they're pulling you into darkness, don't go with them. They're not your friends. You should be inviting them into the light. That's what they need. The darkness is not your friend. It has nothing to offer you. You think, in the words from our video, you think darkness is your ally? At best, you can adopt the dark. But our enemy was born in it. It belongs to him. And when the time comes when you're deep in the darkness, you'll find out that he's not your friend. But for us, it's rarely a binary choice. We rarely come to a single decision moment where, all right, are you going to follow God or are you going to go toward darkness? Instead, we face choices day by day, and we have to choose to turn towards the light moment by moment, every day, or instead, little by little, we can inch back towards the darkness. Sometimes we think we can hide in the dark. And not everything. We just want to hide little things. Little things we're not proud of. You know, I know what the Bible says, and I know what Jesus said, but I got this one thing that I like to do. And I know that God's not real happy with it. But, you know, maybe if I just get in the edge of the light, you know, maybe he won't notice. Well, it's still kind of bright here, you know? So maybe if I just go a little bit deeper into the dark. No, it's... Well, I don't want to give up this thing, so maybe if I just get a little bit further until you're in complete darkness. We don't see the change. We may not notice it happening, but we edge toward the darkness through little decisions that we make. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. This is our memory verse for the month. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. The dark can be frightening, but coming into the light can be frightening as well. It takes courage sometimes. It takes courage to face ourselves and who we truly are and to admit when we've done wrong. But we have to. We have to confess our sin and repent. That's the only way that we can abide in the light. But there are little things that we don't want to give up. They can take many forms. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother is still in the darkness. Yeah, I want to be in the light, but that guy, man, he really did me wrong. And No, that's darkness. Darkness can take many forms. They're called out in the Bible: lying, gossiping, adultery, drunkenness. The enemy's really creative at coming up with new ways to separate us from God. And often, just as we find one within ourselves and expose it to the light, we've got another one. But we got to persevere and be open to the light of truth and release these things and repent of them. Darkness can take many forms. It can try to keep itself hidden, even in the light. Again, look at Judas. He walked with Jesus even while he was stealing money. And I'm sure he thought, well, if I do this right, nobody will ever know. You know, I can be with Jesus while he's sharing the gospel, and then when nobody's looking, hey, I can get a little money for myself, and nobody will ever know the difference. God knows the difference. You can pretend to be hiding it. Even when you're in the light, But God knows about it. There is no place that you can hide from God. Sometimes we even hide from ourselves. Sometimes we convince ourselves, you know, this isn't so bad. You know, I know the Bible says this isn't good. But, I mean, if you look at it this way, then I'm sure it's good and we don't ever need to talk about it again, right? The darkness is good at hiding. But we have to search it out and reveal it to the light. John chapter 1 verse 4, describing Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Amen?
Amen.
Well, then in Matthew chapter 6 verse 23, Jesus says, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If the thing you derive life from, if the thing your life is focused on, is darkness rather than light, how deep is that darkness? We need to be willing to face it. How deep are you willing to let that darkness get? We have to be willing to let the true light in and face the darkness even within ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. It's a tough thing to do, to step into the light. Because in the light of truth, things may not be the way we want them to be. They may not look the way we want them to look, especially with regard to ourselves. This is an area that I struggle with. We have to step into the light and admit where we've gone wrong. Lord, I've made mistakes. I have failed you. I serve in a church. I've been going to church my whole life, and I still mess up. I still occasionally get a hold of something that I think's really great, but it's darkness, and it's dangerous and damaging to me. We have to bring it into the light. Let the light reveal what it truly is, and then let it go. And the amazing thing is that when you really bring this darkness, if you've got something in your life that you're really trying to hold on to, some dark area that you're struggling to let go of, when you bring it into the light and you get a clear picture of what it really is, you probably won't want to hold on to it anymore. When you see what it really is, man, you'll want to get that away from you as fast as possible. Praise God. We have to keep our eyes fixed on the true light of Jesus Christ, even in this dark world. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Let that be what we adapt to, what we become at home in, that light of Christ. Because otherwise, if you step back into the dark world around us, you'll start to adapt and fit into that. We have to stay fixed on Jesus. We must constantly search out and expose the darkness within ourselves, because it creeps in. Sometimes it may not be intentional, but we adapt to the dark world around us. We have to find those areas where we've adjusted to the darkness, where we've begun to tolerate it, and we need to expose it, and we need to repent of it and say, Jesus, come, let your light shine into this dark area. Let's get this cleaned out. We always need to be willing to repent and turn towards the light. And so I'm really encouraged by the words of King David. in a prayer that he offered in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light. It's painful for me to admit I have dark areas within myself. But Jesus can turn that darkness into light. Of all the things that God does, creating the universe, all the miracles that he did, turning water into wine, turning one thing into another, always seems amazing. But this one might be at once the simplest and at the same time the most amazing. All it takes to turn darkness into light is light itself. The presence of light illuminates a dark place. Darkness isn't a thing. It's just the absence of light. Well, God turns our darkness into light with his presence. He's willing to come into our hearts, into our lives, and turn our darkness into light. And as he does, we become light to the world. We're called to be light to the world. In this dark world, there are people around us who need that light. We're called to shine his light into the lives of those around us. So as I close, I'll leave you with a passage from Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is almost over. It will be daylight soon. So let us give up the things we prefer to do under the cover of darkness. Let us arm ourselves and appear in the light. Praise God, the night is almost over. We live in a dark world, but it's not always going to be that way. The true light is coming back. But while we're in this darkness, we need to be light for others. We need to be the light to this dark world. So come, join me. Let us appear in the light. We've reached the point in the service where you can do that in a very physical way. We've talked about how the light of Christ has shined upon us even when we dwelt in darkness. But we have to choose to walk in the light. At the end of every service, we open this altar and we invite everyone to come forward and talk to God. It doesn't matter who you are, you're welcome. This is God's house. Come and talk to our God. But today, I invite you to come and step into the light. Reach out towards the light, because we need it more and more every day. If you struggle with the darkness of the world around you, if that weighs you down, come and talk to God. Talk to the source of light. Let him show you how not only is his light overcoming darkness in the world around you, talk to him about becoming the light in this dark world. Talk to him. Invite him to come into your life. If you struggle with an area of darkness in your life, come, talk to God about it. He knows about it already. Come and let his light reveal it to you. We all struggle with different areas. I invite you today to come. Let God's light shine in you. Invite him to illuminate areas that you still need to deal with. A lot of churches invite people forward at the end of service if they want to accept Christ, or if they have sins that they need to repent of. Here at Redemption Church, these altars are open to everyone. We all need His light in our lives more. We all have things that we need to repent of, but we all need to be constantly reaching out towards the source of true life.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.